Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. You've tuned me in, by the way, of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Others have tuned me in by the way of WION I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM. We're over in the Lower Ada area. It's 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock, and I welcome all of you to our broadcast time today. Some have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we now stream both of these broadcasts, Ionia and Greenville, by the way of the web, and that's such a special thing to be able to do today. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10. Some of you listening to my website, and my website is pastorkenharger.com. If you punch that into your search thing, and you'll find out there comes up current messages or some thought about the messages, you click on that, it'll take you to my website. Excuse me, where there you can listen to the latest broadcast that you want to listen to. As I come to you again this morning, I'm still having a little trouble with my voice. There's so much of this coughing going on and this change of weather, but it's just going to get better, we trust, and we're looking forward to God's help. I also need to say thank you to those that help us with the financial part of our broadcast time. And that is Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor her husband Spence. That was his nickname, and she's from Orleans. Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, thank you for your support. Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belden area, thank you for your support. And I'm looking for another one or two supporters if anybody's interested in helping us out. Some of the financial way of doing our broadcast, I would appreciate that very much. A thank you to K.N. King Singer for selecting our music for today. And I always like to give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church at Shiloh. It begins Saturday evening, 6:30. Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, contemporary service at 10:45. And then in Greenville, we have a campus as well. It's the old Calvary Baptist Church. That's the corner of Grove and Luray Street. And that service begins Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Give you an invitation to come to any one of those services you would so desire to do. As I come to you today, I'm coming to you from the Lighthouse. It's a Tuesday evening that I decided to put the broadcast together. Try that instead of the morning and see how that works out. But you know, the lake is open. This is the middle of January, folks. And the lake is two-thirds open on our side over here, which is the south side. There's ice out a few feet, about 100 feet or so. But all the rest of the lake is open all along the center and on the other side. And I got to tell you, I've lived here 50 years, and I can't remember that ever happening before. I wouldn't come out to do any ice fishing, folks, if I were you, because I think it would be a disappointing trip for you to make. Well, as we get ready for the message this morning, we're going to talk about our feet were made for walking. And not just in the physical sense, our feet were made for walking with God in a spiritual sense. And we're going to address that this morning. And I trust that God's going to bless you in a very special way. I need to share this with you because some folks have been hearing about it. I had an MRI 2 weeks ago, and they found a little spot on my brain. And so I had also a CAT scan, and they used some dye for that. So they had to clean the dye out of my system. And then last Sunday afternoon, about 3:15, I spent quite a lot of time in that MRI machine. They did it once without any dye, and then they put dye in. And I got my report on Monday that it's just a spot on my brain, all right, but it's not cancerous. And they say they're going to keep watch of it And they'll take a look at it in another year, take a look at it and see how things are going. But that was a long 2 weeks waiting for in that waiting room. None of us like to be in the waiting room. And those of you that prayed for me, I appreciate it very much. And we know that our life is in God's hands. But when we go through those difficult times like that, it causes us to consider a whole lot. And last year in the funeral services I did 92 funerals, and over 30 of them, a third of them, was in my age bracket. So death was very much on my mind for those 2 weeks, and God has been faithful to me, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate your prayers. But as we go along this morning, we need to think about those feet that were made for walking in a spiritual way with God, and to kind of prepare our hearts and minds for the message. We got a song that tells us about God's Word. And, you know, as I went through that difficult time in my life, that's one of the things that helped me tremendously. I kept going over and over different portions of Scripture that I know from God's Word, and just claiming those promises and expecting Him to be able to do what He wanted to do. So, Thy Word, I love the idea we're going to talk about in a minute. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Let's listen in. I'll be right back.
To my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side, and I will love you.
Idea. God's a light unto our path. And we need that light, folks. The darker the world gets, the more we need that light. That light of God shining in our lives to give us the direction that we need. Well, as we look into His Word, we will find out that this idea is to have the idea of faith within God as we walk with Him in a very spiritual way. But I'd like to remember the listening audience once again today. I like to do that as because you're my audience. You're why I'm over here to the Lighthouse today. Remembering those of you that's tuned me in about what's going on in your life. And so I just want to pray for you just for a few moments. Father, once again, I'd like to come into your presence. And I'd like to thank you for the listening audience. I meet many different ones that tell me that they listen to the broadcast. And I appreciate that so much. But Father, there's so many more that I don't know. And I don't know what all they're going through today. So I come to you and I ask for your special blessing to rest upon each and every one. Dear Father, would you be pleased if they need a physical strength today? Would you be their source of strength? Father, if they need a word of encouragement, would you be their encourager? Father, we're reminded in your word of so many things that you tell us that you are. Like you remind us that you're the creator. And we're the creation. You remind us that you're the shepherd. We're the sheep. You remind us that you're the vine, and we are the branches. You are the Father, and we are your children. And dear Father, with all those kinds of things in our mind, we can understand that you have a strong desire to meet each one of our needs. You've told us very plainly in your word, to cast our care upon you because you care for each one of us. And I want the listening audience to know, Father, that I care for what they're going through. And so I come and bring their names and their hearts and their lives to you and ask that you might minister to them in a very special way. And I'll thank you and I'll praise you for that. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Well, I'm going to talk about feet this morning. You know, feet were made for walking. I came across that and I like that quite well. But you know what? Not just our physical walking, but our spiritual walking. You know, the words feet or path is found in the Bible 112 times. That's a lot of talk that God's doing about feet. I doubt that you and I can remember the very first step we took as a little baby. I'm 84, so I know I can't remember. And you know, we made that first step, but I believe if your parents are alive, you could ask them, and they would tell you they remembered the first step that you took. You know, many times parents that had a little book for each of the children, that's put down in the book. In the child's book, took his first step, told the day that he took it, and so on. And the parents were quite excited, not realizing that he'd soon be, maybe, or she would be too, and be running all over the place. But nevertheless, that first step was something valuable. It was something of one of many steps that we take within our life. You know, I think that's so important because it reminds us that we need to know that this idea of walking with God is first mentioned in the book of Genesis, chapter 5, verse 22 through 24. And he came to the, as he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God. Now listen to this. He walked faithfully with God for 300 years. And he had other sons and daughters altogether. Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithful with God, and then he was no more because God took him. He walked with God, and he's one of the people in the Bible that didn't go through the dying process. God just took him home. You know, that's something special to think that when you think of that word that is used with that is something that I think that God is desirous to have be a part of my life and be a part of your life. It's mentioned twice. Enoch walked faithfully with God for all of those years. I believe he must have signed on for the long haul. You know, I don't know if he knew it was going to be quite that long of a haul or not. But you know what? That was pretty special. All of this man's life, he was walking faithful with God. I believe God wants us to learn from this man that it is possible for you and I, yes, even in this day and age, to walk in faithfulness with our God. I believe one of the ways we can walk in faithfulness is to walk in step with God. I like the idea of being in step with God, keeping up to Him. What does it mean to be in step with God, you might ask? I like the way it is explained in the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Now, this is not the book of John. This is 1 John in the back of the Bible, just before Revelations. This is the message we heard from Christ. And we're reporting this message to you. Now, here's what he's saying about walking in step with God. God is light, and there isn't any darkness in him. If we say we have a relationship with God, and yet we live in darkness, he says we're lying. We aren't being truthful. But if we live in the light, in the same way that God is in the light, we have a relationship with each other. That's what's necessary, he's saying, is that we would live the way God lives. And then he goes on to say, and the blood of his son Jesus cleanses us from every sin. By the way, if we say we don't have any sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. God is faithful and reliable. Let me say that again. God is faithful and reliable. Listen to what he promises. If we confess our sin, he forgives them and cleanses us from everything we've ever done wrong. May I say it again? God is faithful and reliable. It's all he's asking you and I to do is to confess our sin. And he'll cleanse us from that. He'll forgive us and he'll cleanse us. Many times people think we got to clean ourselves up before we come to God. No, he says, you come to God and let him clean you up. If we confess our sins, he forgives them and cleanses us from everything we've done wrong. We need to come into agreement with God that he is light. And we need to walk in that light. That he says you and I have sinful nature, we've committed sin. And we need to agree with God. You know, to confess means to agree with God. I confess that I have sin. I agree with God. And then he does it from there on. He takes care of it. He gives me forgiveness and he gives me cleansing. And that's so important to be a part of your life. And he wants us to know a question that was asked way back in the book of Amos many years ago. How can two walk together except they agree? Now, you know what, folks? That's what he's talking about. You and I need to walk with God, but we need to be in agreement with God. We need not only be going the same direction, we need to make sure that we are following him the way he would have us to follow him, that we're walking in the light as he is in the light. Then we have this fellowship one with another. We need to realize that God is saying, you and I have committed sin. And if we say, no, I haven't, then we're deceiving ourselves. We need to confess and agree with God. God, I do have sin. And I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me. That's what he wants us to do. I remember one time many, many years ago, counseling with a couple that was having trouble in their marriage relationship. They weren't agreeing. I don't believe they were agreeing on much of anything. And you know, if you're going to have a marriage relationship and have it work the way it's supposed to work, you got to have some agreement between the two of you. And I remember saying as I listened to him, you know what, folks? I don't think you're on the same page. I think you're not on the same page. You got to get on the same page. And then the wife said this, and I never thought that would come, but I never heard it before, and I've used it many times when I'm talking to other people. She says to me, you know what? We're not only not on the same page, we're not even in the same library. Well, I guess that let me know how far distance apart they were from one another. Now, God's saying, you know what? If you're going to walk with me, he said, we need to come to some agreement. And one of the reasons that needs to be is because God's ways is not your ways. God's thoughts are not your thoughts. And our ways are not God's ways. And our thoughts are not God's thoughts. So we need to come to a place of agreement, agreeing with one another. You see, God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so we come to him. That brings me to the second thought I want to share with you. It's not only that we keep in step with him, but this idea of walking with God is the idea so you and I can do some things with him. You know, God wants to do things in our life, and he wants to do things through our life. You have heard it much, and oftentimes it's even on plaque, something that Joshua said, who was a leader of the nation of Israel in days gone by, as they were getting ready to enter into the promised land. And I believe he's speaking not only as a leader of Israel, I think he's speaking as the dad of his family. Now therefore, it says in Joshua 24, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Rather the gods which your fathers served that were in the other side of the river, or the gods of the Ammonites, or those who live in the land where we're about to dwell. But as for me, Joshua says, and for my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, if you and I are going to walk in agreement with God, God is saying to you, I got some things I want you to do. Now, if I'm going to walk in agreement with God, I have to come to that place to recognize he's got some things he wants me to do for him. And I must agree that I would like to do those things for God. You know, I've worked for many different people through the years. I worked for a lot of farmers when I was young. And just, you know, 15 on, I was working for our farmers. I worked for my stepdad from the time I was 8 to I was about 15. And he wasn't the best boss in the whole world. I learned some things from him, but I didn't like his method of teaching. You know, I went to the work in a factory, and that was a good experience. I went and delivered milk house to house. That was a good experience. But you know, I delivered mail for about 20 years as a substitute mailman. And I pastored Shiloh Church for about 50 years. You know, it didn't matter to me what I was doing. When I became a Christian at 17, when I was working in the muck fields, I wanted to do my very best because I thought I wasn't only working for the farmer I was working for. I was working for the Lord. When I went to be a milkman, I wanted to be the best milkman I could because I was serving the Lord through being a milkman. And that makes a difference when you come to that realization that God says, I got something I want you to do. I never thought it would be preaching. I never thought it'd be doing funerals as I do now, so many different funerals, doing weddings and counseling with people and those kinds of things. But we need to know, we need to be reminded, we should serve the Lord in sincerity of heart. And he reminds us to make sure we choose to serve the Lord. I love the same thought about serving the Lord as it explained in what we do for God. It isn't to earn our salvation. It's because we have received salvation. You know, in the book of Ephesians, he reminds us of that when he reminds us that, well, for by grace are you saved, have you been saved. You've been saved through faith and not that of yourselves. He's saying salvation is the gift of God, and it's not of works, lest any one of us should boast before the Lord. But now listen to what he says. Many people like to claim that verse 8. Ah, God's been good to me. He saved my soul. He died for me. He's given me this promise of eternal life. But now listen to what God says. He wants you to agree. That's okay. That he wants you to agree, and he agrees with you that that salvation was all his gift to you. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God the Father prepared beforehand that we should, now listen, that we should walk in them. That's verse 9. Salvation is a free gift. God's offered to you and he's offered to me. But God is saying, I want you to agree with me that I got some things I want you to do. I got some things that I believe that I know you can do. And now listen to the way he tells us. He says we are his workmanship. God is equipping us to do the things that he wants us to do. God will never ask you to do anything that he won't equip you for. You're his workmanship. And he goes on to say, these good works that I'm talking about, they were created in Christ Jesus. Because this one Jesus did come into your life. Now there's good works for you to do. There's some things that you can do as you do for God that's going to be beneficial. And you know what? He tells us God had that in mind for you even before you trusted Jesus beforehand. And I love the way it is stated, because that's exactly what it is, that we should walk in those good works. We should do some things in our life that is evident that we have faith in this one Jesus. In the book of James, he said, you show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by its works. You can't just sit back and take everything from God and not do anything for God. God's got some things he wants to do in your life. As we walk in this service for God, I believe God is telling us this is a twofold thing. First, it's by grace that God wants you to achieve, that he wants to achieve things in our life. By God's grace, he wants to give us forgiveness of sin, the hope of eternal life, and the realization that he's our Father and we are his children. But then the second part of that is the realization that God wants to do some things through you, not just in you. But God wants to do some things through you as an individual. Walk in these good works, he's saying. Let these good works be evident that you are walking with Jesus. I believe when we come to this place that Joshua came to, we would say as well, as for me and my house, I want to serve the Lord. I just love the claim. This is not a promise of God's word. But I got to tell you, folks, it's a statement that I really like. I love to claim for my life, those who walk with God always reach their destiny. Let me say that again. Those who walk with God always reach their destiny. You know, in the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter, it's a hall of fame, so to speak, of faith. Of things that people did because of their faith in God. And that's what God's wanting us to have. Noah, he built an ark by faith in God. Abraham offered his son Isaac up by faith in God. And it just goes on and tells us. Jonah, he preached by his faith in God. It tells us all these different things that people accomplished by faith. And so it comes to me and it comes to you and says, what are you doing because of faith? What are you accomplishing because of faith? And you know something that you probably have heard many times, and it is truly the teaching of the Bible. It's not that you're talking about it, but you're walking. Not just talking faith, but you're walking faith. You're faith walking. You're accomplishing something in that way. We got a song I want us to listen to while I take us a little break. And this song is called Faith Walking. It's what Jesus is teaching us to do. Peter did it one day when he walked on the water, and they'll use that as an example. Peter knew he couldn't walk on water, but he walked a few steps at least by faith. So let's listen to this song, and I'll be right back in just a few moments and minutes, rather, and we'll share the rest of the message. Faith walking, that's what God wants us to do as we walk before Him and as we walk in our life with Him. And that faith walking is the idea of accomplishing some things as a result of faith. What's happening in your life? What's happening in my life as a result of our faith? Because we're walking with this God. You know, there's a price to be paid for that. I'm not thinking of dollars and cents. I'm thinking of surrendering your ideas and thoughts to God. Surrendering to His direction. How can two walk together unless they agree? I love the promise in God's word. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. I want us to think a little bit about this idea of path, idea of a light unto our feet. You know, your car lights as you drive in your car is a good way to illustrate it. When you drive at nighttime, I need to tell you, I don't do much night driving anymore. At the age that I am, I just don't feel secure, so I try to make sure I don't do too much of it at nighttime. Matter of fact, I do very little. But you know, when I drive in the car at nighttime, it lights up the path that I'm on. And that's what God wants to do for us. I need to share a little bit of my testimony because God gave me something in that early part of my life that has made so much difference in my entire life. Even here in the 80s, it's made so much difference in my life. I was about 17 and a half, and I heard that Jesus had died on the cross for my sins, and that if I would ask Jesus to forgive me, He'd come to live in my life, and He would lead me and direct me in the ways that I needed to go. And you know, at 17 and a half, I thought, well, my stepdad had left, and I was just thinking, man, what am I going to do with my life? You know, I never had times when I was a kid thinking I want to be a fireman, I want to be this or that, whatever it might be. My experience in life had been working for cattle farmers and had been working in the onion fields. And you know, in those days, there was a song in the onion fields. And that time when I was working in the onion fields, it says, I'm a lonely little petunia in an onion patch. And sometimes I felt like a lonely little petunia in an onion patch. I come to the point where I knelt down and asked Jesus to forgive me. Asked him to come and live in my life, that I wanted to become a Christian. I don't remember much about how long it was or what the circumstances was, but I heard a speaker say that he had his life's verse. I never heard that before. What does he mean by life's verse? And then he went on to say, he selected Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 to be his life's verse. Well, I looked it up in the Bible and found Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, and wrote it on a card, one of my mom's recipe cards, and I put it to memory. It goes like this. I learned it in the King James. I trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. The words that helped me so much at that time was the words that just stood out to me so much and has stood out so much throughout all the situations of my life is trust the Lord. Trust. Do not lean on your own understanding. You got a way it thinks it should be, but maybe it's not the way it should be. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge God. Let God know what you're thinking and what you're thinking, and he, God, shall direct your paths. A few years ago, I came across a paraphrase of the Bible, which is called The Messenger, and I love the way this verse is stated there. Listen to how it says it there. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, he's the one who will keep you on. Everywhere you go, he's the one who will keep you on track. I like that translation. It's the idea of trusting God from the bottom of your heart. Quit trying to figure everything out. Just on your own. Talk to God about it. Listen to God and to God's ideas and things that he shares in his word. Look how he did some things in other people's lives. And then everywhere you go, whatever you're going to do, he will keep you on track. And we all need to be kept on track, folks. I believe that obedience to God is the foundation that God used to give us some divine direction on the paths of our life. When we acknowledge him. I like this statement I found in my studies. Acknowledge God means to keep him in mind with everything you do. Make it your habit to think of him often. A conversation with God does not have to be a formal, lengthy discussion every time. Simply keep thinking on him. Now listen to what I said next, and I like this. Keep God in the loop. Sometimes, you know, in businesses, when people get out of the loop, it causes problems. Sometimes in families, when people get out of the loop, it causes problems. You know what he's saying? Walk in agreement with God. And then God's going to do his very best to direct you. If you keep him in the loop, but you got to keep him in the loop. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I got to tell you now, ever since 17 and a half, and now I'm 84, almost 85, been walking with Jesus. And you know what? He's directed my path in so many different ways. And I constantly even acknowledge him in just some of the littlest things that we may not think we need to even talk to Jesus about. But God has promised to do that for us. And I don't know about you, but I know I need that for myself. Got one more thing I want to share along this line, and then maybe just a few closing thoughts. Our feet were made for walking. I came across this. It says the average person takes about 1,800 steps a day, walking about 65,000 miles in our lifetime. Man, that's a lot of walking, folks. More important than that, how far we travel is where we allow our feet to travel. I don't know, a mailman would probably do a whole lot more, especially one of those walking mailmen. You know, they got this little thing you can put on your wrist now that can track so many things. I've been thinking I'd like to get one of those and put it on my wrist and see how many steps I take or how far I walk within a course of a day. You know, for quite a few years now, probably 4 years, maybe a little more, I have one of those stationary bikes, and every morning I get on that stationary bike, and I pedal it. It's one of those kinds that's got the pedals on the for the feet, and then it's got these bars for the arms. I got me a little program that I figured out with how far I'd ride by doing my hands and then just my feet and then my hands and feet together and that kind of thing. Well, you know, I ride about 2.25 miles every day. And I got to be honest with you, sometimes I get on that bike and I think, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this today. But you know what I found out? If I do it, I'll feel better. And I do. And my body feels better. My mind even sees the clear as I ride that the first thing in the morning. Now, I did that because I can't walk. My feet give me the most trouble. They x-rayed my feet when I was about 60 and said my arthritis was like I was 80. And now I'm 84, pushing 85, and I don't know what my arthritis would be like now. But there's a time in the nation of Israel when Moses had died and Joshua had taken over the place of leadership of the nation of Israel. And, you know, under Moses' leadership, they came to the promised land. They were able to escape Egypt, cross over the Red Sea and so on. And they got to the promised land and they sent out some spies and the report came back that they couldn't do it. And they disobeyed God. And God let them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Next 40 years, all those that were so disobedient had passed on. They were buried in the wilderness. Now Joshua's the leader. It's the next generation. They come there to the entrance of the promised land and they got to cross the Jordan River. And the scripture tells us Joshua rose up early in the morning and he came to the Jordan and with all the children of Israel and he lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp and they commanded the people saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God and a priest of the Levites bearing it, when you shall see, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. You're going to pay follow the leader, in other words, he's saying. Yet there be a little space between you and about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. I like that statement. You have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify, which means to set God apart in your lives. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. God's got some things that he's never done before that God wants to do tomorrow. Then Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, now this is what you need to get a hold of for this morning. This is the day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel, that you may know that as I was with Moses, Joshua, so am I with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come into the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. You know what God was saying to Joshua? They got to get their feet wet before. You know what God went on to say? We've been here before, and we didn't go. Are we going this time? The way I want you to know, the way I want to know that you're going to go this time, is you got to get your feet wet first. Just going to let you stand in the Jordan for a few moments. Once they were standing in the Jordan and made evidence that they were ready to go across, they were to lead the nation of that whole Israel nation of thousands of people across that Jordan River as they entered into the promised land. We also need that kind of confidence that God will never ask us to go anywhere or do anything that he himself has not already done. And that God is going to say to us, we can overcome the obstacles of your life, the things that's caused the difficulty. But you know what you got to do? You got to get your feet wet. This is already the third Sunday of January. How are you doing this year so far? How's things going? We need to get our feet wet. There's things that God has promised that he wants to do for you and he wants to do in you and through you. And we need to realize that the only way that's going to happen is we need to get our feet wet before him. We need to realize that God's got some things he wants us to accomplish. This was true for the nation of Israel. And this is true in the days when Jesus was here. And this is true for you today. He's the same God. It's the same God's word. And he works the same ways in our lives as he has in the past. And he wants us to know that he wants us to have straight paths for our feet. First of all, I want to talk a little bit about the idea of a path. A path, you know, is something that has been traveled over and over again. You know, when I was telling you that a minute ago that I worked for the farmers, the cattle go back into one of the fields in the back and they would graze during the day. And then, you know, my job was to go, as it was getting time for milking, to go back and get the cows. They made a path, folks. There's all this field and yet those cows followed one behind another. And pretty soon you could see the path. You've all seen that if you've been around a farmer sometime. You know, I love the deer hunting. In deer hunting, you can see a deer travels sometimes the very same path. And pretty soon you can see there's a little path where the deer has traveled. There's paths in your life. And there's paths in my life. And we need to realize that as we travel this journey of life, first thing God is saying, I want you to have straight path. You know, there's a verse in the book of Isaiah that reminds us of that, that God says that's what this John the Baptist was going to do as he prepared the way for Jesus to come into this world and to do what he was doing. As it is written in the book of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough shall be made smooth. That's what God is saying. He wants us to realize that he wants us to have a path with him. That's a path that God wants to walk on. He wants to walk on the path that has been straightened out. You know, the quickest point between two destinations is a straight path. And God's saying, I want you to be on the straight path. Jesus one day said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. God is reminding us. He wants to direct our path, but he wants it to be a straight path. He wants some of those there wilderness places to be fixed up nicer than it was before. Not only a straight path, but the valleys. Way down deep in the valleys, he wants them to be leveled off. He wants the mountains to be brought down, those things that seem to cause you so much trouble, to be brought down. You know what he's saying? I'm trying to walk with you on a path that's leading you on the very best that can be possible for your life as an individual. And God wants to do that for you, and he wants to do that for me as he brings about those kind of paths for each one of us to follow. But you know, folks, I got to do one more thing, and then we'll close with a song. We need to realize that we get feeble. You know, we do with age. But sometimes the world is so tough to live in that sometimes we let some of that thinking. That's why we need to come back to the thinking of God. And we need to come back to the idea of saying, if I want to walk the way God wants me to walk in his path that he wants me to walk, then I need to make sure that I'm doing something that's going to be beneficial in my way of walking. I got a song I want us to listen to. It starts right out and it's telling us God will make a way. God will make a way for you. And God will make a way for
us. God's word tells us.
Here we go.
All
God bless you.
Work together for
Thank
good.
You for letting me share
them
with
that
you.
Love God and are called according to his purpose. And I believe what the enemy has intended for evil or bad in your life, I believe that God can turn it around for good and make a way where there seems to be no way.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my God, hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way.
Sing it together.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my God. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. By a roadway in the wilderness, he'll lead me. And rivers in the desert will I see. Heaven and earth will fade, but his word will still remain. He will do something new today. In ways we cannot see, he will make a way for me. He will be my God, hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way.
May be going through a situation tonight that seems hopeless, and you think that God has forgotten you, but he hasn't. His word tells us that he has inscribed us on the palm of his hand, and he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. He can make a roadway in the wilderness and a river in the desert. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. Let's sing it together.
Oh, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my God. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day.